Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in all your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of God.
Let's take a moment to pray. And as we pray, I encourage you to just pray for the people beside you, in front of you, behind you. Let's pray that as we're studying the word today, that, that the Holy Spirit would just speak to us, change us, and make this a holy moment as we gather here together. So let's just take some moments to pray for the people around us, that God would be present in this place. Lord God, we give you thanks that we are standing in the season of Easter, where you have opened the way to new life, to resurrection. And Lord God, today, would you open our hearts to the power of the resurrection? Lord God, not through speech, not through clever ideas, but simply through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you pierce our hearts and speak to us? I pray that you'd help us to bring down our defenses and come before you with a heart of thanksgiving and a heart that is open to be changed by you. I pray, Lord, that whatever is from you, that would remain, but anything that's just my own opinion or not founded on your truth, Lord, we just pray that the things that are just of me, that they would just pass. And that, Lord, we would all kind of come away from this feeling that we have encountered you. We know, Lord, that you are present in this place, but at this moment, through our prayers, we acknowledge that you are here in this place with your people. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today, I am here to talk about Easter. And some might think, well, wasn't that last week? Isn't it something that we just got over? That's just something that we do once a year. And now the buzz of Easter, all the preparation that went into it is over. We get on with our lives. But Easter is not like that. In fact, I was thinking often about, in my younger youth, I thought, well, you know, when you're in these college fellowships, everyone's just talking about, like, once you get married, like, you know, you don't have to worry about dating, everything's going to be finished, life just gets easier, everything falls into place, you just got to figure out how to get married, and then it's done. And then clearly, if you've interviewed anyone in this church who's been married for a while, you realize that that's hardly the case. In fact, it's better to say that actually Easter marriage is actually the beginning. And very much so, I'd like to think of Easter as that. It's not the end product. It's not the thing, and then now it's just, everything is autopilot now. Easter is a new beginning for us. And very much so, Easter is a season that we enter into. And to say, God, we are beginning a new season with you. And what does Easter hinge itself upon? It hinges itself upon the resurrection. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because what in Christianity gives it its unique voice? What gives Christianity the power it does? What gives Christianity that unique kind of truth? What is the motivation behind all that we do in Christianity? And I like to say it's the resurrection. It is that important. It is so important that as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is even bold enough to say this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost.
If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all of men. Such strong words. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. He's saying that you could believe all the other things of the gospel, but if you just let go of the resurrection, then you are to be pitied more than all people. You know, I was thinking of one of my friends, and I enjoy discussions on theology, and he was telling me about one of the seminaries that he was attending, and one of the professors had suggested that perhaps the resurrection wasn't so much an actual resurrection, but more like an idea. And that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. It's just that his teachings continue to live to this day. More important than Jesus rising from the dead is to just realize what a great model, what a great example he is. And how we call him Lord and our teacher. And his resurrection lives on us and lives on in us through obedience. And it sounds so wonderful. But to compromise the resurrection, I told him, is unacceptable. And perhaps some would call me fundamentalist or, you know, sort of narrow-minded. But it's not about being narrow-minded. It's about taking away the cornerstone of our faith. You see, in this letter, 1 Corinthians, the Church of Corinth is a great church. You know, it's growing. There's lots of really gifted, talented people. Paul's really excited about this church. But the problem is they have a lot of divisions. And as he gets closer to the end of the first letter to the Corinthians, he starts tackling the more serious ones. And this is near the end. This is probably the most serious. He says, I heard that some of you in your church, as gifted and as talented as you are debating about the resurrection. And he's really disturbed to hear that these rumors are going around. Paul is basically saying, how could you doubt the resurrection? It's the foundation of who we are. If there's no resurrection, Christ didn't rise again. And let me tell you, if that's the case, then our message is wasted. If people are not going to share in the resurrection from God on one day, then why are we doing this? Then I guess we're just a bunch of liars, isn't it? Then the whole message of God, it doesn't make sense. You can't have this as an optional think about it. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You know, you believe that, I believe this. Let's just get along. This is not a compromise kind of point. Paul is saying, why do you think we go through all this suffering that we do? Why do you think we testify as we do? And that's why if you read in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's very careful to talk about witnesses. He's very careful to talk about, this is not just an idea. The resurrection of Christ is historical, spiritual, theological. Easter isn't a one-time event that we consider and forget until we approach it again next year. It symbolizes an actual change in our life when God has given us new life and now has changed us forever. You see, I want to say very boldly that the church believes in the resurrection. You know, my discipleship class, we're going through the Apostles' Creed, and we just finished recently. And this is the final point I want to teach on, is that I believe in the resurrection. And why is the resurrection so important for the church? But more importantly, why is it important for me? This isn't some abstract idea that I'm trying to force on you. It's not about me trying to make sure that we have all our boxes checked off as a good church. The resurrection in my life is so important. It is important for the church. It is what sustains the church. It is what keeps the church alive. And why is that? And I'm going to share about three things today. What does the resurrection mean? But before I do, I just really want to encourage you to think anew in your own life. When you hear about the resurrection, what does it mean to you? How does it change your life? Does it really influence you? You know, sometimes we even get embarrassed talking about the resurrection because we think it's kind of wild, you know. It's not very educated. You know, we're living in a very scientific world. But, you know, even in Christ's time, there were many people who looked at the resurrection as something fanciful. They were very philosophical in that time. The resurrection at that time was a very anti-cultural, it was really going against the mainstream. It set people apart. It divided many. But it is on this thing that we hold our faith. And in these coming weeks, for this month, I just want to take reflection upon the resurrection in different ways. And so I'll be spending the next couple of weeks preaching about this. But today I just want to make very clear is that the Church of Jesus Christ believes in the resurrection. And what does that mean for us today as Christians? And I want to talk about three things. And the first thing I want to talk about, what does the resurrection mean for us today as Christians? The first thing is, Christ's resurrection means that we can be born again. Born again. You know, growing up, I'm filled with all these images of people on television speaking really loud, asking for your money, saying that you can be born again, promising health, wealth, and prosperity. And that's what born again looks like. And that's not what I'm talking about. Born again is much deeper than that. What does it mean to be born again? To hear the words again. Just as we read it in John chapter 3, there was a day where a religious scholar comes up to Jesus and says, "How can I be saved by God?" And Jesus says, "You know, for you to be saved, it's about as probable as you going back into the womb again and being born again." And the man goes, "How's that possible? No one can do that. I'm grown up. How can I be born again?" And Jesus admits, yes, it's really impossible that your flesh can be born again. But to be born again, the real problem is not about your flesh, but it's about your spirit. Your spirit is dead, though you think you're alive. Your heart has been dead to God. You have been distant from the one who loves you, from the one who created you. And he says, if you want to be born in your spirit, you must be born of spirit. And the whole time, the scholar is very confused. He's saying, how can this be? And he says, think of this. Think of the wind. That though you don't see the wind, you know of its effect and its power. You look at the trees. You feel it on your face. You know that it is a real force in your life. And that is the power of the Spirit. And that is the power of the resurrection. And though at this point in time, we struggle with death and suffering. But the power of the resurrection, we can't deny it in generations and generations of believers. Though we haven't seen it, we see the effects of it, of how it has changed lives, how it has given hope to people. Through the message of God, we have found something else. It's not visible, but it is powerful. It is a living wind in our life. And how fitting it is in the original Greek word for spirit. It's the word ruah, which is wind. Wind and spirit are the same word in Greek. To say that this thing that you cannot see, just like the wind, has come to you and breathed life into you. And to think about Genesis. How did Adam come to life? From dust. God breathed into him. It's that living wind that refreshes us, renews us, and gives us new life. It is when we come before God, dead and distant from him, confused, apart from him because of our broken relationship, because of sin. It is only when God comes to us through his living wind, through the power of who he is, that we are resurrected and renewed. We are born again. And yes, it's impossible. But all things are possible with God. Here we stand, you know, gathered together. What kind of music, what kind of message will change us and give us new life? There is no real message but God's message alone, the Holy Spirit alone, that can make us born again. And the resurrection, to say that Jesus Christ died and truly died and rose again, is to say that all of us here have the hope that we can be raised again too. We can be born again. And that is good news. And the second thing I want to talk about is that Christ's resurrection means that both body and spirit are important. And some people think like, oh, what is this about? We are raised both body and spirit. Why is this important to kind of emphasize? Did you notice that when many of the early church and even in the biblical account, a lot of people really want to make clear that Jesus was not this ghost going around. In fact, you read when he came back to life, he actually ate. He actually asked people to touch him. Why was that important? Because you see, at that time, the culture was all about kind of thinking that, you know, the body is not a good thing. And we are in a culture today that talks about the body as a bad thing. You know, a lot of times when we have these uncomfortable talks with younger people about sexuality, we just want to say like, okay, the body, bad. Just don't think about it. You know, just be spiritual. But we don't really tell them about that God has created your body and there are good ways to use it and bad ways to use it. You know, it's difficult. Even as we get older, we think about our bodies as something to fight against, something to like kind of like hate. As we get older, we can't eat the foods that we used to. We can't work out like we used to. We can't do the things that we do. We kind of look at our bodies as this burden. But Jesus rising again is saying both the body and the spirit are important. And just as I said that we are born again of the spirit, we're also going to be born again of the body. And why is that important? Because God is basically saying here that our physical bodies are important. They also have responsibilities too. God cares about our bodies. In fact, he doesn't just care about our bodies, but he cares about physical things. He cares about this earth. Many Christians have said, you know, the environment, it doesn't really matter because I'm so spiritual. Because one day, Jesus is just going to come again, and he's just going to burn it all away. It's all going to burn, and then we're just going to go up like these little spirits, these little ghosts into heaven, and we'll all look like fat babies, and we'll all be singing. And it'll be fine. It'll be great. But that is not the case. Jesus came again in a real body. He didn't come as an appearance of a man. He didn't come as a ghostly figure. He came again, flesh and blood, but also revived spirit. We're not just going to be bodiless spirits in heaven. In the resurrection, our bodies also will be resurrected in a new way. It gives us hope that God is not just concerned about our spirituality, but he's also concerned about our healing as well. That is why we pray for healing. But in this world, we still struggle against this very difficult statistic. 1 in 1 people will die. All of us will die. And I know maybe some of the younger folks in here is like, no, not me though. I don't know. Somehow I'm just going to make it. You know, I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with this. All of us will die. And all of us have struggled with the pain of loss. And so God does want to heal us in our lives. And he has provided miraculous healing in the life of my loved ones, in my family. But I know even in the midst of healing, it's been difficult. I have seen also struggles where healing did not turn out quite the way I wanted. And even now, people that I care about are struggling with their health. And it is hard. And so what is the hope of the resurrection? What does it mean for those who struggle with their bodies, who struggle with hope? The resurrection means that an eternal restoration, an eternal healing, if we don't see it soon, it will come. And, you know I'm talking very theological, but let me talk about something from my past. My grandmother, who I loved very much, she passed away from this earth 10 years ago. And I remember, I didn't know much about science, so, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I know there's many qualified people in here to talk about that, but I had just gotten back from my time in Japan, and my My family really told me, like, I think you really need to fly out to Toronto to see her because I don't think she has much longer. And I remember just how much I loved her and how difficult this trip was going to be. And as I saw her, we went to the hospital with her, and I found out that maybe like 4 times a week she had to be hooked up to a dialysis machine. And she was a woman that really enjoyed helping people. She was so selfless. I mean, she raised 9 grandchildren, 6 children, just loving, just a very generous woman. And she found her identity in helping people. And in the final stages of her life, being hooked up to this machine with all of its tubes, she often would speak about the frustration she had, how she wanted to break free. And I remember when I saw her, just knowing her heart and how much she just wanted to be free to help people and to love people, but still chained to this machine, my heart just went out to her. And I remember seeing her there and just so sad. And I was there with her little granddaughters, my cousins, and they loved her so much. All of us loved her so much. We would just wait on her everywhere. She's really the foundation of our lives and our faith in so many ways. And I remember, sorry, it's kind of hard sometimes to recollect, but I remember my time had come to an end and I had to go back from Toronto to Vancouver. And I remember before I left, she said very, very sweetly, with just a really gentle smile, but a very knowing smile, she said, "Let's see each other again soon." And I knew when she said that, it probably was not going to be in this life. And we embraced, and I cried very much. And I went off to the airport. And sure enough, soon after, she passed away. And I wasn't able to attend the funeral because of other matters. And I really did want to be there. But something very powerful was told to me at that funeral. At that funeral, the granddaughters who were living with her at the time, they all wrote pictures. They all drew pictures of my grandmother in heaven. And they wanted to show people, this is my grandma in heaven. And on this casket, they all put their picture. And I think at the time, they must not have been very old. So, I mean, the quality of the pictures were not very good. But they were beautiful. And one of my cousins did the most wonderful picture. She drew this picture of my grandmother at the time, who was in a wheelchair the whole time. And she drew the wheelchair. And she drew the dialysis machine with all of its wires. And she drew them, and there was my grandmother on the other side of the picture, and she was free. She was no longer in the chair, and she had thrown off the machine. And you know, my cousins were not great theologians. They were just little children, but they had such good theology. They knew this is the hope of the resurrection, that we struggle in this world. Our bodies are difficult. Our trials are difficult, and they're real, and they're physical. They're not just these theoretical things. But the hope of heaven is that one day God shall ultimately free us. And even now he is freeing us and healing us and giving us hope. But let me tell you, for you who struggle, maybe with your own bodies even, or with a loved one who is struggling, that there is a resurrection to come where we will all let go of our wheelchairs, we will all let go of our machines and the tubes and the things that prevent us from fully loving God and loving others. They will be abandoned. And the hope of the resurrection is clear. That just as that picture portrayed, my grandmother has a hope
that she is dancing with her beloved Father in heaven. And to this day, that teaches me about the resurrection. It is the truth that I hold to, that when I'm counseling my friends who are struggling with terminal illness, who are struggling with the hardest and the most difficult things, that the hope of the resurrection, if not now, will most definitely come. And we shall all rejoice together. Christ's resurrection means both body and spirit are important. In my most difficult times, I hold on to that picture of that drawing. God is gracious. This is the hope of Jesus Christ. It is real. It is powerful. Christ's resurrection means that we can be born again of spirit. Where our hearts were far from God, we are now born into a new relationship with Him. It is not just about spirit, it is also about body too. It is a real resurrection. And the third thing I want to say is that Christ's resurrection means that we have a new future, a new hope. You know, many people like to say, you know, just as we are, Christ has received us. Just as you are, come to this place. Just as you are, come. You don't have to change anything about yourself. Just come, because Jesus Christ accepts you. And I'd like to say, yes, this is true. But Jesus Christ is not going to leave you like that. Come as you are, yes. But don't leave untransformed. Don't leave the same as you came. And how many of us in our churches have come to an Easter service, an Easter season, a church year, and we have come in through those doors just as we are, just as we are, Jesus, and we leave just as I am, Jesus. And we continue to think that, what is the future? We continue to think, maybe, what is the church about? Is it just kind of sustaining what we have, sustaining just the good thing that we've got going? And what the resurrection says, no. The resurrection says, you know what you call life that continues to repeat and continues to make the same mistakes over and over again? That's actually the definition of what you call insanity. When someone has a problem and he continues to solve it in the same way over and over again. The church is not about insanity. Even though sometimes you come into the building, you're like, wow, this is crazy, right? The church is about hope. The church is about resurrection, a new future, a new purpose, a new life. We live in a day and an age where the signs of clinical depression is more than ever. I'm counseling youth, and I'm seeing them day by day. They have all the comforts of life, but they're depressed. They just don't feel like life is going to get better. They feel like there's nothing worth living for. There's a whole generation of music coming out that just talks about a lot of kids who are just despairing of life. In fact, even about kids who are even cutting themselves just to feel something, to feel real. And that is not God's intention, to be cut off in your life from hope. The resurrection says, do you feel like your life has hit this dead end where there's no way out? Do you feel like you've reached the shore of the Red Sea and you felt like God was leading you somewhere, but now we're stuck? The Bible speaks to us and says, well, God can part those Red Seas. Have you come to a place where you're thinking, like, God's promised you that living Messiah, the promise of hope, but you've been waiting and waiting and you just don't see it happening? What God wants to say to you today is that indeed in Bethlehem a Savior was born. Or maybe some of you have said, you know what, I thought I found Jesus, but look, there he is on the cross. It's over. Why did Jesus go to that cross? Jesus went to that cross to say, that cross represents all the places in your life where there is a dead end. Have you faced this dead end relationship with God where you just feel like I can't get closer to him? It's hopeless.
Have you reached that dead end? Maybe in your family, and you're just thinking like, you know what, God, this is beyond salvaging. This family is just so broken. It's just, I don't know. It's just a dead end. Have you felt in your relationships? Have you felt maybe in your spiritual life, in your churches, that I've been trying so hard, but all I do is I just end up in that dead end. And that dead end looks like a cross. But it is it's for that very reason that Jesus used the cross as a symbol of hope, to say that this symbolizes the dead ends of the world. And to say that Jesus has triumphed every dead end. In fact, the greatest dead end of all, which is death. They have all been triumphed. They have all been conquered through Jesus Christ. And the resurrection says, you no longer have dead ends. You now have a new life, a new purpose, a new reason to live. There is a reason to wake up this morning today. There is a reason to help in this church today. There is a reason to invest again. There is a reason to pray. There is a reason to care, a reason to love. Because despite the dead end, even death, Jesus Christ is greater. Verse 23, the apostle says, if there's no hope, if there's no Christian hope in resurrection, we lose our meaning. It's better to just tell people, why don't we just eat, drink, because tomorrow we die. If there's no resurrection, then we may as well just get along as best as we can. And that is how much many of us want to live. We're so tempted to say, like, you know what? I don't have a purpose. I had a really great, you know, stretch in the 20s and 30s, but now it's, I mean, what's left really? What's left really is the resurrection for all of us, no matter how young or how old you are. The resurrection stands before us to say that you have purpose, you have meaning always. Not even death can cut off your purpose in life. And this is the good news that we have to offer, the message of the resurrection. In a world that is trying to say, what is the meaning of life? What is our purpose? Why am I here? Does anybody care? The resurrection says, yes, God is the answer. God is the purpose. And if the church doesn't live in this purpose, we lose the one message that we can give the world. Can you see like why I get excited and I get a little agitated when people start thinking like, well, you know, the resurrection, that's sort of the one awkward teaching we have of the church. I would like to say it's the most awkward teaching. I'd like to say it's the strangest teaching we have of the church. But it is that one thing that we have to offer the world that will change the world. It is the one thing that we can offer Chinatown, D.C., the suburbs, Greater Washington, the resurrection. The homes that you live in, the communities that you inhabit, the resurrection. And if we do not live out the resurrection, if we don't live like we have a new purpose, a new life, then we forfeit that message that we have. And Paul says this. He says, you know, if the resurrection isn't true, then we are to be the most pitied of all people. But let me turn it around. If the resurrection is true, to not believe it means that you are to be the most pitied of all people. If the resurrection is true, how sad would it be to live life struggling on your own, to live life without hope, when God has revealed to you that a resurrection is possible? That even though I recollect with tears the people that have passed in my life and have struggled with their bodies, what hope can I offer them in their struggles? But Jesus Christ has come to us and said, there is hope for your bodies. What hope is there to know God and to love him as you were created to be? The hope is a resurrection, that though your spirits were dead in sin, they are alive through Christ. How sad to live through all the struggles of your life right now with no hope, with no resurrection. God is saying that your life is not temporary, but eternal. It has eternal implications. These current crushing trials are not the final word in your life. And though they may be many, it is not the final word. The final word is God's resurrection. But many don't want that final word. In the great obstacles of your life where you feel like you just can't be forgiven, you can't get out of the slavery of your destructive habits, or you're despairing of the fear of death, God came in with grace and showed you that you can be born again. No one is beyond hope. Christ rose again, and so can you. In a world very afraid of death or wanting to die because it has no meaning, Jesus Christ comes to us and says, there is life. Easter is about resurrection. It means we can be born again. God can raise our spirit and our bodies. We have a new future. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the power of the resurrection in our lives. And Father, we pray that if there are places in our life where we have not fully considered the implication of the resurrection, we pray that you would just grab us and reveal to us anew what it really means that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and what it means for us. I pray that you give us hope. Give us a hopeful rejoicing in the grace that is found in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.